Let's take the Word of God this morning and we will go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and of course this is found in the heart of the Bible, the very middle, Psalms, Proverbs, and then we come to the book of Ecclesiastes. And today I want to speak to you on this subject, trusting God's ways. You know, all through life, life is really seasons, is it not? My wife and I, of course, we were gone, and it was very beautiful where we were at and very warm. But life has seasons, does it not? As the seasons come, soon it's going to be spring. I hope it's going to be spring soon, you know. And we'll have summertime and then fall and winter, and all the seasons come and go. But life has its seasons as well. And every season of life has its purpose. There's a purpose behind the winter. We may not enjoy that time, but there's a purpose. We may not enjoy the rain at times, but there's a purpose for the rain. We may not enjoy the bitter cold, but there's a purpose behind it. In life, there are seasons that every one of us face that we do not enjoy, and then sometimes we would like to skip that season of life. But every season has its purpose because God is behind every season of life. Now, when we come to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we read this passage and you almost think this is kind of strange, Pastor. He goes from one end of the spectrum to the other end. Life and death, planting and plucking and so on. May I tell you as we read this that in every season of life, we need God. We've got to have God. We need His guidance. We need His grace. We need His strength. Read it with me, if you would, please. As I read out loud, would you read silently? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also He hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. Would you notice back in verse number 11, the Bible says, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. It is amazing to think about times and seasons that we go through in life, that there are times when we think, this is not beautiful. This is not something I enjoy. But God has promised that He will make everything beautiful in His time. Now, that phrase, in His time, so often my time is not always God's timing. I've always said this, God is never late, but He is hardly ever early. But God is always on time. Always on time. And in God's time, He makes everything beautiful. Brethren, we may think this morning that, Pastor, I don't believe that, but by faith, we believe that God will make everything beautiful in His time. This morning, I want to preach on this subject, trusting God's ways. So often we have encountered things in life and in your life, what we do not think, how can this be God's way? How can this be a part of God's plan for my life? But that is where we must trust in God's ways. I want you to take your Bibles and let's go to the book of Isaiah. You'll turn to the right in the Bible, not too far. You're in the book of Ecclesiastes, and you will come to Song of Solomon, and then you will come to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 46. Let's begin there. And we're going to look at a couple of things in Isaiah chapter 46. And trusting God's ways. How can we trust in the ways of God? Number one this morning, I want you to notice that we can trust because our God sustains. Now, what does that mean? Our God sustains. Brethren, we might say that God sustains us, and that is true. But may I present to you that God not only sustains us, God sustains everything. God sustains it all. He sustains every part of it. My wife and I, as we were in Jamaica, we had an opportunity to walk a lot and hold hands and talk together and pray together and spend time together. It was a wonderful blessing, and I thank you for allowing us to be able to be away during that time and my dad to be here. We walked on the beach often, and as the waves coming in, there's something to me mesmerizing about the ocean. I love to watch it and look at it, and we were walking on the beach, and the waves continued to come. You ever wondered and thought, God created all of that. He sustains it. He keeps it going. I talked my wife into going on a sailboat ride. Can you believe that? That the pastor's wife did that, and she did it. She said, honey, this is love going out on this sailboat with you. And it was not a sailboat as you would think of. It was just kind of a flat board with a sail, and you just held on to a rope. That was pretty much it, you know? That's my type of sport right there, you know? And, of course, the Jamaican took us out there, and I think he could tell that my wife was a little nervous about it. He was going to take us a mile out into the ocean, you know? And, of course, I was having a fun time, and I said, hey, I said, you seen any sharks out here? He said, no, man, no sharks out here. And I knew he was lying, you know, because it was deep, you know? I kept asking him, how deep is it here? He said, oh, 20 feet deep, man, 20 feet deep, you know, and then 50 feet, and then 100 feet deep, and 500 feet deep, you know. Them sharks live over there, I can tell you that for sure. And I kept kind of pressing him. He said, no, man, not any out here, you know. And later on, after we got back, my wife said, hey, I liked that. I kind of enjoyed that. I said, well, let's do it again. She said, no, we're not doing it again, you know. And so, but anyway, later on, I said, I'm going to go out there and do that again. I said, that was fun, you know. And so I'm out there. It's just me and that Jamaican guy. I said, are there any sharks out here? He said, yeah, man, plenty of sharks out here. I said, you lied to me. So, and I said, are any barracuda out here? He said, oh, lots of barracuda, man, lots of barracuda, you know. And but anyway, as I was out there and I looked all across there, it's just so beautiful. And you think God created all of this. But God sustains it. God keeps the stars in the sky. God keeps the sun in its place. God keeps this pulpit together with the atoms and the molecules together. God sustains everything. And brethren, if our God sustains the world and the earth and the seasons, He sustains your life and mine. He sustains. Now, Isaiah chapter number 46, and we come to verse number 9. I want to show you some things. Now, think as we read these passages. They're so wonderful. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. He goes on in verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God sees the beginning from the end. When God looks at our lives, can I tell you something? He looks at our beginning and He looks at the end altogether. He is the eternal God. We can trust God. We can depend upon our God, number one, because He sustains us. Now let's go to another passage in Isaiah chapter 55, if you would please. Isaiah chapter 55, and I want you to look in verse number 8. What a wonderful thought here. I want you to know something, that God allows all things into your life, into my life. We may think that certain things that come to our lives, we may think, God, I don't want that. That's not what I desire. We think sometimes that we can pick and choose what God brings. But brethren, God could be bringing something to your life, even this very moment, that you're going to need 20 years from now. You see, we do not know what the future holds. God does, because God, when He looks at our lives, He sees the beginning from the end. God sees it all. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what the future holds for our children. We don't know what the future holds for our families. And brethren, none of us know what the future holds for our lives. But God knows. He sees it all. That is why He wants us to trust Him. Trusting in His ways. By the way, God's providence. We talk about the providence of God. And what does it mean about the providence of God? It means His constant care for and His absolute rule over all creation. His providential care. He sustains us. Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 8. The Bible says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Verse 10. "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven..." It's hard for me to accept that right there, all right? That's a hard phrase. The Bible goes on to say, "And returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." Now listen to me very closely. We often think of that the word of God, as it goes forth, that it has profit and it will not return void. That is true. But brethren, may I help us to understand that is also meaning what God sends into your life and into my life. It does not come by accident. There is no such thing as luck for the child of God. There is no such thing as accidents for the child of God. Brethren, what God sends to us, He has a purpose and a plan for it. You see, we can trust God today because He sustains us. I also want to read to you, and if you'll just listen to me, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 17. And if you'll just listen, I will read it to you. You see, nothing in this world stands independently of the Lord's perfect will. Because Colossians 1:17 says, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." I love that. In fact, may I read to you also Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Can I tell you something? The law of gravity operates with unceasing certainty because God sustains it. We think of the stars, they continue in their place. The moon is in its place. All of that because God sustains it. And brethren, God did not simply create the world and walk away from the world. No, God is active in this creation. God is sustaining. And brethren, God did not save you and me and walk away from our life to let us just to live our lives as we choose. Now, yes, we do have a free will, but there is a God today that is working in your life and working in my life. He sustains us. By the way, It is God who gives us all that we need. And would you take your Bibles? I love looking at these passages. Acts chapter number 17, if you would, please. Acts chapter 17. By the way, we are not left to our own devices or the whims of nature or the evil acts of other people. Can I tell you something today? That God constantly sustains, He provides, and He cares for us every moment of the day. I want to share with you just a simple little illustration as you go into Acts chapter number 17. My wife and I, as we were heading on this trip, we prayed that God would meet our needs and guide us along the way, give us opportunities to witness and share the gospel, and God did give us some great opportunities. We're thankful for that. But just a little thing, first when we got to Columbus to fly out to go to Miami, they had not put us sitting together, and I really wanted to sit with my wife, you know, on the plane. And I went to the ticket counter and I said, hey, can you somehow move us so we can sit together? And they said, sir, it's full. It's a full flight. There's just no way. And I said, okay. And we just took it of the Lord. I got on the plane and I was sitting up in the front. My wife was in the back. And I said to the stewardess, I said, ma'am, my wife's back there and she's pretty, you know. I said, I sure would like to sit with her if there's anything you can do. And she said, sir, let me see what I can do. All right. She was on a mission. She found two guys just back there, just sitting together. They weren't together. They were just happened to sit together. And she said to them, she said, I got a couple that they want to sit together. You guys let them sit. And sure enough, they stood up. We got to sit together. And you know something? My wife, I mean, it meant so much to us because can I tell you something? It was God's care of our life. I had prayed that morning. God put us together on the plane and let us sit. Now, we may think, oh, it's just a little thing, but not to us. Because to us, it was God in control of all the things, constantly guiding, constantly governing the affairs of our life. Now, listen, God doesn't always answer our prayers in that matter, but God is sustaining. God is looking over our lives constantly. He knows what comes to our lives, but He sustains. Acts chapter 17, let's begin in verse number 25. The Bible says this. It says, and here the Apostle Paul is preaching, and while he's preaching, he gives great doctrine here. And look what he says, Acts 17, verse 25. He says, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. The Bible goes on to say, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Look in verse 26. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after Him, and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him, think of this, we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. Would you notice what he is saying there? In Him we live and move and have our being. What is the Apostle Paul saying? He's saying that God supplies our daily food. Every breath we breathe is a gift from our God. Every bite of food that we eat is given to us from His hand. Every day we live is determined by our God. Brethren, we can trust Him because He sustains us. You know something, that if we are to trust God, we must learn to see that He is constantly and continually at work in every aspect and in every moment of our lives. Look at it this way. If God is sustaining this world, then God is sustaining you. And He is bringing into your life the things that you may not think are a part of your life, but it is the purpose and the plan of an all-sustaining God. We can trust God because He sustains us. Number two, we can trust our God because our God governs. Now, what does that mean? You see, God governs the actions of all creatures, both man and animals. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles 29:12 that He is the ruler of all things. No one, let me say this, no one can act outside of God's sovereign will or against it. You may stop and say, Pastor, I really don't understand that. Because what about men's free will and what about man's sin? God is never the author of sin, but our God is able to take even the evil acts of others and even the sin of others. And God is able, because He is sovereign and because He sustains and because He governs, He is able to work all that together for our good. Brethren, if I didn't believe that today, then I might as well close this Bible and go home. Brethren, our God governs. Nothing is too large or too small to escape God's governing hand. You see, the spider building its web in the corner, or Napoleon who marched his army across Europe, are both under God's complete control. He sees it all. He knows it all. The sovereignty of God is often questioned because man does not understand often what God is doing. In fact, do you know, brethren, that God told us back in Isaiah chapter 55, He said, "My ways are not your ways." We think sometimes that God needs to operate according to our understanding or according to what we think is best, but God does not work that way. You see, brethren, God does not act as we think He should. God does not often do what we think. And sometimes we conclude that God is really not in control. Oh, God is working. And He is governing. Brother, by the way, we believe today that God is a God of purpose. Not a God of just accident or a God of chance. He is a God of purpose working in our lives. You know something? What about all the suffering in the world? We see it, do we not? When I go to hospitals and I see suffering and I see tears, when I'm at the bedside of a loved one that is dying, I think about all the suffering of God. But may I say to you that even all of our suffering is under the control of an all-powerful and an all-loving God. Because He governs the affairs of life. By the way, our suffering has meaning. It has purpose in God's plans. Now look, I know you may be thinking right now, but Pastor, what about this unsolved mystery in my life? Do you have some unsolved mysteries? I do. I have things in my life that I can honestly say before you that I have no idea why God allowed this in my life. I don't understand. In fact, Vance Havner said that there are some days in our life that God, I believe, writes over those days that God simply writes, "We'll explain later." Sometimes I want God to explain right now. Lord, why? We ask that question. We think, God, why did this take place? Why now, God? Not now. This is not the right time. But wait a minute. God is sovereign. God is governing the affairs of your life and in my life. Listen, brethren, we need to trust this God to know that He sustains us. He is the one who's keeping us. He is the one who is sustaining us. But He is governing the affairs of our life. Number three, why can we trust God? We can trust God because He has absolute control. Now take your Bibles and go to Proverbs chapter number 16, all right? I want to show you some things here this morning. Proverbs chapter 16. Now here is something very important. Our God has absolute control. He sustains, He governs, but He has absolute control. No creature, no person, no empire can thwart God's perfect will. Do you know that no man can get outside of the bounds of the control of God? God controls it all. Yes, God has created us with a free will. God has given you a free will to choose. He has given you that. He gave Adam and Eve the free will. That's why God told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, He said, there's one tree that you cannot partake of. That was the act of their will. Would they willingly believe God and not take of the fruit, or would they willingly disobey God and take of the fruit? And we know what Adam and Eve did. They sinned knowingly and willingly, and we understand what took place. Every day of your life, we have a free will to choose. You willingly came to church this morning, And I commend you on the choice to obey the Lord and not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But brethren, within the bounds of our will, can I tell you something? God is still in control. He is still ruling and overruling in our lives. Let me show you. Proverbs 16, verse number 9. The Bible says this. It says, a man's heart deviseth his own way. Now let's stop. That's man's free will. But look what it says here. But the Lord directeth his steps. I love that verse so very much. Because there are times in my life when I think, God, I don't know the right thing to do. But a man's heart deviseth his own way. But the Lord directeth his steps. God is working. He is overruling. And he is governing. He is in control. Look in Proverbs 19 and verse 21. Should be just a couple of pages over. Proverbs 19 and verse 21. The Bible says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Look in chapter 21 and verse number 30. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 30. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Brethren, I want to say this to you. By the way, if there is a single event in all of universe that can occur outside of God's sovereign control, then you and I cannot trust Him. Do you understand this morning that if there is anything outside of the control of an almighty God, we cannot trust our God. But we can trust Him this morning because He is sovereign. He is a God who sustains us. He's governing. But He is a God who's in control. Our God permits, for reasons known only to Himself, for people to act contrary to or in defiance to His sovereign will. But He never permits them to act contrary to His sovereignty and His control. Listen, God holds all things. Let's use, for instance, the story of Joseph. All right? Now, do you think that it was pleasing to God for Joseph's brothers to sell him into slavery? Absolutely not. It was sin in the eyes of God. They were jealous and they wanted him dead. But can I tell you this? Did they want to kill him at first? Absolutely. But God would not permit that. God did in His sovereignty allow Joseph to be sold into slavery. Listen, God never authored that. God never put that in the heart of Joseph's brothers. But God kept it all within His complete control. Because God was going to use that, even that sin committed against Joseph, for His purpose and for His plan. Brother, may I say to you that God is in control. You may think, well, what about my wife, what she did to me? My husband, what he did to me? My child, what they did to me? What my boss did to me at work? You say, God is not in control. God is not authored that sin. He did not approve of that sin. But may I say to you, He is such a God of control and sovereignty that He is able to work it together for your good. That's why we can trust Him. That's why daily we can look to our God and we can depend upon Him. Because the things that God has allowed to our lives is going to work together for our good. We must trust Him. We can trust our God. You know something? We make plans, but those plans can only succeed only when they are consistent with God's purposes. No plan can succeed against God. It cannot. That's why man's heart deviseth his own way, but the Lord directeth his steps. That's why the Bible says that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he turneth it whithersoever he will. Can I tell you what that is? That is a God who is in control. You may say today, but Pastor, what about injustice? What about the things we read and hear about? When these events occur, they always hurt, do they not? Yes, there's pain. Yes, there's sorrow. Yes, there's suffering. But our God is in control. And in His control, He allows you and me to experience pain. He allows us to experience hurt. He allows us to experience heartbreak and disappointment. The pain is real. The hurt is real. The suffering is real. But the sovereignty of God, knowing that He is our rock and we can trust in Him, and that is where we can depend, that God is going to use all of these things for our good. Catherine Marshall was the wife of the U.S. Senate chaplain Peter Marshall, a man of God who was greatly used of God. After the death of a grandchild whom she loved so very much, Catherine Marshall wrote this: "When life hands us situations we cannot understand, we have one or two choices. We can wallow in misery, separated from God, or we can tell Him," and this is what she wrote, "God, I need You. And Your presence in my life more than I need understanding. I choose You, Lord. I trust You to give understanding and an answer to all my whys only if and when You choose." You know, so often we want understanding more than we even want God. And Mrs. Marshall was saying, "God, I need You more than I need explanations. I need You more than I need understanding. I need You more than I need. And God, if You choose to explain why and when You choose," that's like Vance Havner saying, "God writes, I'll explain later." Brethren, can I tell you something? That is the God that we serve. That is the God who loves us and cares for us today. You see, the circumstances that are surrounding your life and my life right now, can I tell you something, are no accident. Oh, yes, they may be the work of evil, but that evil is held firmly within the mighty hand of a sovereign, almighty God. You see, you say, "Pastor, I'm having a hard time understanding." Brother, may I tell you something? That is where we must trust our God. All evil is subject to Him, and all evil cannot touch His children unless He permits it to touch us. You see, the mistakes and the failures of other people are also under the controlling hand of a sovereign God who is able to work them together for our good. I love the phrase about the Bible where the little sparrow. Can I tell you something? God's eye is on the sparrow. Look, when I was growing up as a kid, I shot all kinds of birds I could shoot, you know? Today I think everything, one of those is illegal to shoot, you know? But man, I shot everything, you know? Neighbor's cat was a good target, you know? And all kinds of things. But can I tell you something? The insignificant sparrow cannot fall to the ground without His perfect will. And the mighty Roman Empire cannot crucify Jesus Christ unless that power is given to Him by an almighty God. You see, even Christ Himself said, "No man taketh My life from Me." You know what Jesus was saying? Those men thought that they came and found the Son of God, and with sticks and staves that they caught Him and they captured Him. No. He willingly gave of Himself. And may I tell you, the disciples didn't understand that. And so often, we do not understand God's purposes and God's plans and the things that He brings to our lives. And you and I both have had to say often, "Why? Why now? Why this?" But it is under the control of an almighty God. May I tell you, are we left to the mercy of accidents? Are we left to the mercy of people in positions that can do us harm and are intent on doing it? We are not left to that. No, 1,000 no's and many times over, we are in the hands of a sovereign God who controls every circumstance of our lives and who rejoices in doing you and me good. Can I tell you, God orchestrates the events of our lives to fulfill His purpose. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this: "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." How can we give thanks? You know, some things that come to your life and my life, I'm not thankful for. Some things come to my life and I'm like, "Lord, I don't want this. I would like to be rid of this. I don't desire this." But may I say to you, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We can trust today because our God is sovereign. We can trust because He is governing our lives. We can trust today because God is in control. Brethren, today I wonder, do you think often about the control of an almighty God? Years ago, I heard this story about during World War II, a man in England had sent some money to the Scripture Gift Mission. All right, he was in England. He enclosed a letter saying that he longed to give more, but the harvest of his farm had been very disappointing because of a lack of water. In fact, he was also fearful that the German bombs were being dropped in that area, and he asked the workers at the Scripture Gift Mission to pray that no bombs would fall on his land. Well, he got a reply back. Mr. Ashley Baker wrote back that he didn't feel led by the Spirit of God to pray that no bombs would be dropped, but simply to pray for the Lord's will to be done. Now you might say, wait a minute, Pastor, surely it's God's will. Well, shortly after, a huge German missile crashed down on his farm. Nobody was injured, but the bombshell went so far into the ground that it brought forth a great well of water. Can I tell you this? We might say, God, this bomb, I prayed that no bombs would fall. I didn't want the bombs on my land. Would it not be God's will? But brethren, God works in spite. That was man's evil intent. That was some German's evil intent to drop the bomb, to cause hurt and to cause harm. But God was in control of all of that. God's sovereignty ruled and overruled. Brethren, that is why you and I can trust our God. He is our rock. He is our refuge. He is a very present help in time of trouble. In closing, would you go to Psalm chapter number 18. Psalm chapter 18. And I want you to notice this. I love this. By the way, some things about our God will forever remain a mystery to you and me. Our God is infinite. Our God sees the beginning from the end. You know, I think sometimes that we look at our lives, and by the way, we can only see now. Do you understand that? We can only see what's happening now in our life, and we can only base on what has happened to us in the past. And by the way, the older I get, the more I'm forgetting about the past, you know? I forget. Sometimes my wife reminds me about things years gone by, and I say to her, I forgot about that. That's true. Yes, God did work there. Yes, God did answer prayer. Yes, God was in control of all of that. And I'm going to tell you something. At the very end of our lives, can I tell you this? Every one of us, it may not be here on this side of heaven, but every one of us will never look back over our life and ever say that God was not in control at any moment of our lives. He was ruling and overruling. Psalm chapter 18, would you join me here at this passage? And I love it. Let's begin just in verse number 1. I would love to almost read the whole thing, but let's look at it. David said, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. I love that phrase. Every time there is darkness in your life, it's under his feet. His control. Let's read on. Verse 10, and he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. Now we're going to read on, but I want you to listen to me. There are treasures in the secret place of darkness. He said, he made darkness his secret place. God knows all about your darkness. And in the midst of the darkness, there is a treasure to be found. God wants to teach you. Let's read on, verse 11. His pavilions round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. And he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. I love that verse 16. You ought to underline, he sent from above, and then he took me. He drew me, and then look in verse 17. He delivered me from my strong enemy. And from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands, hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the forward thou wilt show thyself forward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord will enlighten. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. He's talking about a warrior, a troop, a garrison of soldiers. David said, I've run through the troop. I wasn't harmed. And by my God have I leaped over a wall. And look in verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Brethren, how can you trust God's ways? Because his ways are perfect. Listen, he sustains us. He governs us. And he is all powerful and all control. Today, trust him. I don't know what you are dealing with in your life. I don't know that. I only know my burden. I only know the things I deal with. And sometimes we're tempted to think that, God, where are you in the midst of this? God's there. He's in the darkness. He sees it. It's under his feet. There's a secret in the darkness. Lord God, help us to trust him. Trust him. Trust the Lord today. Depend upon him. Let's bow our heads in prayer.